The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
The Lord answered their prayers. This is what the Apostle Paul was wanting for the Colossians, to pray to God that his door of imprisonment might be open, and so that he can be sprung out of prison. Well, you already answered it. No. I mean, if I was in prison, I would probably ask you to pray for me to get out. But the Apostle Paul, amazingly, he says, it doesn't matter to me whether I'm in prison or not, but I do want to pray and ask you to pray that the door of opportunity would open up. Why? Because whether or not he's in prison, especially when he is in prison, he's got a captive audience. I've been waiting all week to say that.
Hello, my name is Mark, and I'm your host for our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in beautiful Southern California. This message was preached back in 2019. I'm adding my remarks now during the pandemic in 2020. Pray earnestly that the door of opportunity would open to share the good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That is good news because there is no mask big enough to cover us from the virus. Jesus Christ, however, is more than enough to cover us from the wrath of God that is to come to those who would not believe. Grab your Bibles and turn to Colossians 4, 2 through 4, and listen to the exhortations to pray.
Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. That is the word of the Lord for us this morning, and may he bless it in our hearing this morning. You may be seated. We are nearing the end of our exposition, verse by verse, of the book of Colossians, and what we have just read are words which contain the Apostle Paul's final comments and final commands. You will recall that the primary occasion in which the letter to the Colossians was written was to counter the deception of the false teacher. You will remember these solemn words: beware lest any man spoil you or captivate you or cheat you through philosophy and vain deceit, the philosophy that is according to the tradition of men, and the philosophy that is according to the rudimentary knowledge of the world, a philosophy that is not after Christ. Epaphras, the faithful pastor of the church there in Colossae, made a 1,000-mile trek to Rome to visit the Apostle Paul, who was at this time under house arrest. And what was Pastor Epaphras' purpose for doing so? Well, obviously, he wanted to combat against the deceitful philosophy that had crept into their church. And so the Apostle Paul, as well as Pastor Timothy, went through lengths in explaining the main countermeasure. And who is the main countermeasure, class? Jesus Christ. He is the countermeasure, the main countermeasure to combat against the deception that has crept into the church. Jesus the judge, Jesus the unique Son of God, Jesus the Savior of the world, Jesus the eternal, Jesus the sustainer of all the universe. And chapter 1 and chapter 2, both chock full of declaratives about Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 3, again, chock full of imperatives. Those are commandments of the powerful resurrection life that the Colossians have in Jesus Christ, and by extension of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit given to this in this epistle for us today, how we should live a resurrection life in Jesus Christ. And so now we come to the final words of this letter. And so we will look at them this morning. I don't know about you, but as I've studied this epistle, I felt like I've been sitting on the edge of my seat because of the thrilling suspense and exhilaration experience as I've studied this passage. I hope that's been your experience as well. We've looked at this verse by verse, and that's my prayer for you, my dear people, that you've had a wonderful experience listening to the exposition of this letter. I pray that your belly, your spiritual bellies, are nourished and full like mine is. And so we come to these verses, and you know what these verses tell us? You and I read it. One of the final comments and commands of the Apostle Paul, what is it? In one word, what is it, class? Pray. 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 So let me give you two facets of what he is telling us here. These two facets of prayer are an imperative for us to pray. Number one, an imperative to cultivate devotion to prayer. Kids, those of you who are writing these, we're going to have a test later. An imperative to cultivate devotion to prayer. Verse number 2, look at that. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. The phrase continue in prayer comes from proskatereite, which means to devote on an ongoing, steady, earnest, habitual practice. And what is the practice? You know it. The practice of what? Prayer. Here we are given a hint that the Colossian Christians knew what it meant to pray and that they had been practicing prayer. And so here the Apostle Paul gives simply an imperative to continue in doing it. Continue, or to devote to prayer. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul uses the same verb, saying, continuing instant in prayer. That is, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Dr. Luke, the physician, describes the prayers of the early church as all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The phrase, continue in prayer, gives us the sense, listen to this, busy oneself with prayer. Be busily engaged in prayer. Be devoted to it. Be in constant attention to prayer. Give it your constant attention to pray. You will recall Hannah in the Old Testament, who was barren. Scientifically speaking, that means she couldn't bear a child. She was so distressed, but she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And as 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel tells us, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. You recall that story? and there shall be no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, the priest, marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, giving us a hint here of how we should continually pray. She was praying in her heart. She spake in her heart. That's an amazing statement. Spake in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. There's your another hint for how we should pray in a continual manner. What was Hannah doing? She devoted herself to prayer. She busily engaged herself in prayer. And you know what happened 9 months later? She gave birth to a man child. She was very specific too. I want a man child. Who later became the prophet and Samuel established by God himself. And so in this cultivation of prayer, in this cultivation of devoting oneself to prayer, we are given a key phrase of duration. How long or when are we supposed to pray? When are we to busy ourselves with prayer? When are we to busily engaged in prayer? When are we to be devoted to or to give constant attention to prayer? Well, I just answered my question, didn't I? Constantly, continually. May I suggest to you, when you commute to work, turn off the radio and pray. Keep your eyes open, though. May I suggest to you, moms, at home or at work, pray like Hannah did. She spake in her heart. Her lips moved, but no voice, sound came out of her lips. May I suggest to you, children, before going to school, as you wait to do your schoolwork, pray unto the Lord. Be in constant communication with him. The Apostle Paul, in his farewell address to the Ephesian elders, uses this same word to watch with leadership vigilance concerning the flock under their care. We're given here a phrase of position, and look at verse number 2. Continue in prayer, and what's the next words, class? And watch in the same. This word, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, the Apostle Paul, as he was talking to the elders in Ephesians there, he was giving them a farewell speech. He told them, I was with you for the space of 3 years, and he said, I ceased not to warn you, everyone, night and day, with tears. In another context here, another text, he used the same word to call the Christians to alertness in these perilous last days. Therefore, let us not sleep, and as do others, but let us watch and be sober. In this verse, we are given a key phrase of orientation. What is the next words here? We're given here a clue of the duration of prayer and then the position of prayer, which is to watch and be sober. And then we're given here an orientation or an attitude of prayer. And what are those words? Verse number 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same. Here's our orientation. Here's our attitude. Here's our approach. And what is that? With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. It is a phrase of orientation. It is what we know as the gratitude attitude. But it is also a phrase which tells us that we should have an active expression of that attitude in the giving of thanks. This Thanksgiving season, I want us to come together on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We have midweek service. If you didn't know, we have a midweek service at 7 p.m. Wednesday night. I'd like to encourage you to come to that. We'll have a special night of prayer and thanksgiving. That's all we'll do. Somebody will get up and say, "Thank you, Lord, for such and such. Thank you, Lord, for so and so. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you've given us." And then somebody will stand up after that individual and will pray unto the Lord. And then after that individual, somebody would stand up and say, "Lord, thank you for my job. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my neighbors." And then somebody will stand up and pray unto the Lord. That's all we'll do. I encourage you to be here for that. It will be a sweet time of thanksgiving and prayer unto the Lord. Pastor Christian, why are you doing that? This is an imperative to devoting to prayer. Hello? It's not just given to the Colossians. It's by the extension of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit given to us, to you, the church here at Riverside. Let's practice it. Let's practice it. In the history of our nation, we have a glimpse of President George Washington's devotion to prayer. Robert Lewis of Fredericksburg, Virginia, was Washington's private secretary. During the first part of the presidency, he said that he accidentally witnessed President Washington's private devotions, both morning and evening. He saw him in a kneeling position with an open Bible before him, and he said that he believed such was his daily practice. His custom was to go to his library at 4 o'clock in the morning for devotions. The preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, told of an illustration on how continually the soldiers carried their swords. Wherever they went, they carried their swords. Why? Protection. To be ready always. The enemy comes, they're ready. In my capacity as an army chaplain, we had a 3-day weekend this past weekend. We went to the shooting range. They gave everyone, 170 of them, of us, weapons, except for the chaplain. They don't give weapons to the chaplain. I'm kind of like Andy Griffith, you know, a sheriff without a gun. I was with them there. It's fascinating to watch them. They always have their weapon with them. They went to the bathroom, their weapon went with them. They went to the chow hall, the kitchen, the weapon was with them. They went to bed, the weapon, well, they went to the cots under the stars and slept in, you know, tiny tents on the ground. Their weapon was with them. Always, continually with them. You know where I'm going with this, right? That is the sense in which we hold on to prayer, to continue in prayer. Our devotion to prayer should be that. Help us, Lord, because many times we left our weapon in the closet. We left our weapon on the desk, and we went out into the world without our weapon. Help us, Lord, Hey, when was the last time you prayed? Don't answer that. Continue in prayer. And then we see this second imperative. It is not only an imperative to cultivate devotion to prayer. What do we see? An imperative to cultivate direction in prayer. Direction in prayer. Do you have direction in your prayer, or is it just some big, nebulous, directionless prayer? Where's your prayer going to? Here, we're given a direction for prayer. And what is that? Look at verses 3 and 4. With all praying also for us. Here's the direction. And it's a specific one. Pray for us that what? God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Praying for us too. Who's the us? Well, it's the Apostle Paul, it's Timothy, it's Epaphras. What does this tell us about Paul, Timothy, and Epaphras? Where they were just like you and me. At best, they were men. And they were the best of men in the early church. Nonetheless, they were still men in need of prayer. And the first direction in prayer is to pray for specific prayer requests, such as for Paul, Timothy, and Epaphras. And so I say to you here, church, please pray for me as your pastor. There is a direction to our prayers. It's not just some nebulous prayer that hopefully will go somewhere. There's a specific direction. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray for our trustees and our deacons, our staff. Why? Because at best, I am a man. And the best of men that we have are still men like you and me. And here's a second direction in prayer, is to pray for that God may open a door for the message. Open a door? What does this mean? Does this mean that the Apostle Paul wanted to be sprung out of prison? You will recall that the Apostle Peter, when he was put in prison, what did the church do? They had a prayer vigil all night to pray to spring Peter out of jail. Remember that? Did God answer their prayer? Yeah. The angel of the Lord smote him on the side and woke him up and opened the doors. And Peter walked out of prison. He goes back to where the church was meeting in their prayer meeting, knocks on the door. A girl by the name of Rhoda comes to the door and sees Peter outside the door. She got so excited that the Lord answered their prayer. She goes back to where the men and women were praying. He goes, Peter is here. The Lord answered our prayers. And they told him what? Oh, go back to praying. You're crazy. It's his angel. But it was Peter at the door. The Lord answered their prayers. This is what the Apostle Paul was wanting for the Colossians, to pray to God that his door of imprisonment might be opened and so that he can be sprung out of prison. Well, you already answered it, no. I mean, if I was in prison, I would probably ask you to pray for me to get out. But the Apostle Paul, amazingly, he says, it doesn't matter to me whether I'm in prison or not, but I do want to pray and ask you to pray that the door of opportunity would open up. Why? Because whether or not he's in prison, especially when he's in prison, he's got a captive audience. I've been waiting all week to say that. He had a captive audience, didn't he? But he prays and he asks the church to pray for a door of opportunity. For what? Here's another direction. To pray that the good news would be clear. Look at with me. Verse number 4. That I may make it, what's the it there? A reference to. The mystery of Christ. What's the mystery of Christ? The gospel of Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ. That he may make it what? What's the word? Manifest. What does it mean? That it might be pristinely crystal clear to the people, whether to the captive audience or to the audience outside of the jail. So we have here, number one, an imperative to cultivate a devotion to prayer. And then secondly, to cultivate a direction in our prayer. How can we apply this for us today? Well, every single one of us here should pray for the clarity of the good news of Jesus Christ, that it might be spoken with crystal clear articulation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray for the outreach program. Pray for the visitation program. Pray that as there are men and women in our church that go into Food for Less or their workspaces and attempt to articulate the gospel, that they may indeed articulate it clearly. If you've been on our website, what are the motto of this church? Eternity, clarity, and charity. Why is that? Because we want people's attention to be drawn to eternity. Life is short, but eternity is long. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul in hell? Eternity is a long time. And may we, with clarity, articulate the gospel to them. What is the good news of Jesus Christ? That Christ is the Savior of the world, and there is no one else, there is nothing else who can save the sinner. The sinner must bow down to him and confess his sins and ask him for forgiveness, as he had substituted the sinner on the cross of Calvary, his sin, the sin of the sinner, on Christ, and God's wrath was poured on Christ instead of the sinner. And that if that sinner confesses their sin and humbly bows down to Christ, that God, on the basis of the death of Christ, can forgive that individual. And only that gospel can save the sinner. An imperative to devotion to pray. An imperative to a direction in our prayers. Oh, may we as a church devote ourselves to pray.
May we as the Church of Christ devote ourselves to prayer. A lot of people are asking the question, what can we do during this pandemic? If you're a Christian, then you should pray more earnestly. Why? Because prayer is a powerful weapon in our spiritual warfare. Because we are instructed by the Holy Spirit to pray. That's why. Well, friends, I hope you'll come and join us at Riverside Baptist Church for prayer on Wednesday at 7 p.m. My name is Mark, and I hope to see you again on our commuter CD from RBC. For more information, please call our church office at 951-687-6106 or visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.